Welcome to Christ Today. Oh, what a beautiful day it is. Heavenly Father, thank you for all of the goodness we have and for our joy of life. Help us to know you better. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I have been thinking about both how wonderful life is and how many concerns we each have. Both are very real, that life is wonderful, and that we each have concerns. And somehow we get to find a comfort level with each. And I have heard people who only say good things, well, we think. Oh, the people who really have that, that's called a Pollyanna complex. And I've never actually met anyone who's really had that. And the opposite of this is the people who only see trouble. And I have heard them called gloom and doomers. Oh, but I've been asked if I was a gloom and doomer. But no, I certainly am not. But I do talk about the what ifs and what if something was to happen, because I see there really are things that could happen. And if those really big bad things could happen, then we would all be hurt a lot. Plus, the things that we would need if a bad thing happened was the things we need would not be readily available. So I've had thoughts of preparation, and we have all heard what happens when everybody starts to get prepared for maybe a hurricane or some kind of a natural disaster or a viral epidemic. You know what happens. Everything that you might want or need just disappears from the store shelves, and that happens practically overnight. Maybe you have heard about people who say that they don't need to get food and water for the family or for themselves because God will provide, and He would not want my children to go hungry. So they have a dependency on God for the things that they need in this world. And of course, there's the people who think that if God is not providing, that they are entitled to take what they need from other people. After all, it's for the children's sake. That's what the reasoning goes. Well, maybe you've heard this before. I have heard it, and probably you have too. Now, what if that same person has another need, like they need a car, or they need a little house to live in? Are they going to justify their needs for God providing or not providing, that argument? Well, it's something that we have to be aware of. What is our position? Do we say that God is going to provide, or do we figure that it's something for us to be responsible for? You see, I think God has given us the ability to anticipate the future and what our needs will be. We can read about that in the Bible also. Biblical wisdom tells us to look ahead and see what our needs are and to act appropriately. We know the patterns, don't we? Yes, we see them clearly. There are patterns in nature. There are patterns of, in nature it's like hot and cold and planting and harvest. Those are the natural patterns. But there are patterns in every area, and we need to have an examination of them to see what we want to do, what we ought to do. Now, the planting and harvest of crops, that's pretty easy because we all get hungry. So we know that that need is so obvious, and we take care of it or the farmers take care of it by harvest and planting and harvest. So these days, it seems like we have gotten removed from that pattern of life because we personally, just about all of us, we go to the grocery store and we don't give a lot of thought to the harvest, the planting and the harvest. So after all, we have the food shipped in from other hemispheres and from around the world, and we just don't have to pay much attention to it. We just go to the store and buy what we want. Wow, what a blessing that is. Well, we understand there are patterns, and today we at least intellectually understand that there are patterns. There's emotional patterns too. I mean, you don't want to talk about certain things of the past with maybe your spouse or somebody, but there's that kind of emotional things too. Let's see, other patterns. Well, we understand that there are consequences to our choices or to our moral choices, and that can even have an effect from generation to generation. Choices and consequences, that's what we see. And there have been articles and books written about families who for generations have held on to their good Christian morals, and the family has benefited from that. And there have been like examples of a family that did not follow Christian morals, and they had consequences that were unpleasant. So there's always a pattern that we can examine and see what kind of consequences do we want to have in life? How moral do we want to be in following God's morality? There are choices and there are consequences. So always consider that. There's also a question about money. You see, that is something that goes from generation to generation also. And those traits are passed along. Now, I'm going to come back to money in a minute. But first, I want to continue on the patterns, that there are patterns in life between people, and there's patterns of the earth. For instance, with agriculture, we have streams and rivers, we have good soil and bad, we have volcanoes and earthquakes. They are patterns also. Patterns are all around us. They're in the earth, they're in money, they are in spiritual choices. So to me, it is worthwhile to look at each one of these areas and find the patterns so that we can work within them and have them benefit us. We do this day to day. Obviously, we do it day to day when we deal with people, and we can do it in longer term too, year to year, or if you want to think really long, generation to generation. So we prepare for what kind of things we see in the future, and we all have a different vision and have different preparations. It's pretty easy to see the real simple ones like food and water or medical or a surprise natural disaster coming, especially if we live in an earthquake or a volcano area. So the patterns are there for us to see. But we have to look a little more closely to see some of the patterns. And I think one of those is money. If we want to look a little bit closer, we do see money patterns. And I think we see the spiritual patterns as well. And those two affect one another. But of course, spiritual dominates in the short term and the long term. And that is why we want to have our close relationship with God, the God of the Bible. And it only makes sense to me that we listen to God all of the time. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is our God. So to look at money for a few minutes. Money is something of value that is used in trade. It is often stamped pieces of metal, a precious metal or a semi-precious metal. That's typically what money is. But we have gotten to think of currency as money. Currency is pieces of paper that represent a value, but they have no value by themselves. Unless a government or a bank gives them value and assigns them a certain value. But the little pieces of paper do not have value by themselves. So these days, there is a lot going on that is affecting the value of our currency. And right now, the biggest thing that I see that's going on is the money printing. That's what it's called, money printing, putting large amounts of currency into our system. And that is done both by printing money and by adding computer numerals to a screen. So that's pretty much what our Federal Reserve notes are. They're dollars, but very few of them are paper anymore. Most of them are computer digits on a screen, just like you get a statement from your bank or maybe a stock brokerage company. They have numbers on a paper, and those numbers represent something that you own in a material way. But you don't have ownership of it unless you have what it is in your hand. So dollars, which are really Federal Reserve notes, are being electronically printed and printed on paper more and more each and every year. That's a pattern that has been going on, but it is certainly going on right now. We recognize it when we go to the store, and it takes more and more of that currency to buy what we need to live. Just think of the last few years. We've had the inflation, and in 100 years we have had inflation, a little bit at a time, but it has added up to be a great big amount. And now we live in inflation that we can recognize from year to year. Every year we have inflation and we feel it. And inflation is something that destabilizes our entire economy. When the economy is unstable, people become afraid to spend any money at all. Well, any currency at all. And the businesses, they also become afraid to spend any of that money currency, because they never know when they will get more money currency back into their accounts. So that's a part of the fear element that is going on right now. People are afraid that with inflation, people are afraid that their currency will be devalued, their monies in their banks will be devalued. And what happens with this process is that the spending stops, and that makes the economy stop. And that means that jobs go away. And so it's a cycle that is pretty difficult to overcome. And it is historical. It is so historical, example after example. For you can look at it for 2,000 years. You can look at it for 100 years. Or you can look what has happened in the last few decades in other foreign countries. It's a pattern that repeats. And it is destabilizing. It destabilizes, like I said, the money and then the economy, the government, and the lives of the people. We can wonder, will something like this happen in our land, in our country? It might. It follows the pattern that it will. And so people are asking, how bad will it get and how long will it last? Oh, of course, when will it happen? Now, it's really hard to determine those kind of questions from history. And how it applies to our economy today, because there have been manipulations within our economy that have been very great. And they have gone on for 10, 20, 30 years. It was about 30 years ago that I first heard about the Plunge Protection Team. The Plunge Protection Team had a job which was not to let the stock market lose its value, or at least not to lose its value quickly, to keep the prices up. That's what the purpose of the Plunge Protection Team was. The Plunge Protection Team is kind of a little-known organization, but you can read about it. Certainly you can ask people about it in the financial world. They know that it exists, but it has been kept secret. Its creation was done in secret. And what its operating parameters are also is secret. The public knows nothing really about it except that it exists and what its general mission is. So it seems like the times that it was admitted to accidentally. It was not admitted to on purpose. So secrets continue in our economic world, political, personal world. Secrets are a way of life. But it would be nice to know what's going on with our money, our currency, our central banks, our government, what the plans are. Then we could better figure out what to do. But they're secret. The central banks all around the world are privately held. And even our central bank, the Federal Reserve, is a private corporation. It is private, and nobody knows the real structure of it. It's hidden. The minutes of the Federal Reserve are also only released in part to the public, and often then it is after some years. So it's difficult to get reliable information, and it's difficult to know what really is going on. We have to make guesses for what's going on in our economy and in our national economy. So we do. We guess, and we make the best decisions that we know how. But we still get ideas from those big money people. Oh, going back just a couple of years, there was Paul Volcker in 2013. He's the ex-Federal Reserve Chairman. And he said, we are in uncharted waters regarding our money and economy. And in 2016, Ben Bernanke, again an ex-Federal Reserve Chairman, said, we were sailing in uncharted waters. Also in 2016, the Minneapolis Federal Reserve President, Kashkari, said that the U.S. economy is in uncharted waters. In 2020, the Boston Federal Reserve President, Rosenberg, said the economy was in uncharted territory. So, to me, these are all indicators. Yeah, they're not proof. They're not anything solid. But all we have is indicators to try and see what's going on, to see what those wise and powerful people who we depend on them to keep our economic system stable. So what are they telling us? They're telling us that they do not know what the future holds for the economy, for the all of it. They don't know. They don't have any real idea because they are in uncharted waters, uncharted territory. See, this has been going on for a few years. It makes it pretty hard to make decisions for what our future holds, especially economically or with our monetary system. Really, we don't know. But, as I said, these are indicators, and we have to make reasonable guesses and assumptions for what the future holds. How about volatility? Do you think it has volatility in the future? Yeah, our stock market has volatility. Oh, and there has been volatility in the past. In 2008, the stock market had a certain crash. So was there volatility 30 years ago when that plunge protection team was created. So why am I concerned? It's because I see the signs of a weak economy right now. And the Federal Reserve is telling us that we are in uncharted waters. And also, the Federal Reserve is telling us that they are injecting hundreds of billions of dollars into the economy through the repo market. Now, that repo market has been a program that started in September to run up until September of 2019. And it would run up until February 1st, 2020. But that's what the plan was. But they are putting more money, more billions of dollars into our system. That happened again just last week. There was two injections that amounted to a couple of hundred billion dollars. So, what is the repo market? That is where the banks get money if they need to settle their accounts at the end of a period of time, like the end of a week or on a certain day. When they don't have enough cash, they can draw cash out of that repo market. So, the effect, as far as I can see, the effect is similar to the Federal Reserve printing Federal Reserve notes. You know, that's money. Just plain out of thin air. It comes right off of a computer system and into our accounts. So we say, oh, that's great. More money? Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, that kind of makes for an instability of the market. Instability for the people to know what's coming, and that affects everything and everybody from the top all the way down. I mean, can you even think today what our economy and our financial picture would be if they had not injected those hundreds of billions of dollars? You know, just out of thin air, just putting it right into the economy. What would have happened? Well, I suppose we would have gone through a pretty hard time economically. But the thing is that's still going to happen at some point in the future. They just cannot keep it going. It's the fundamentals are impossible. So at some point, there has to be a really big correction that they keep postponing. And how long can they manipulate the economy and keep it going? It's a question that lots of people are asking, and we don't know. We don't know, and I don't know what to tell you, except that something has to happen at some point. Now, who am I to tell you this? Just a guy who has looked into this field for decades. Ever since I was a teenager, I've looked at this money thing. It's held an interest to me. I don't have any licenses or any professional position that gives me credibility. All I have is my own study. And I'm a history guy. I've studied a lot of these things. And so I see the indicators because I've studied. I've read the financial newspapers, magazines, a lot of things. I've studied the books. But it's still one man's opinion, mine, and you will have to look into all these things for yourself to see what you think. Check it out. See what you think. See where you stand upon it all and what you ought to do. But I think it's important to talk about. We talk about the things that could affect our life. And that's why I talk about it. Because it gives you a little bit to think about. A little bit that might help you to have a direction in where you see things going in the future. And therefore, what you would do. To me, it's kind of fun to look at because I've been doing it for so long. But we still don't know where it will end up. Sure, we have the historical examples, and they tell us where things will end up, and it won't be good. That's what history clearly tells me. And how do we weather this storm? The storm, economic storm that's coming, the way we do it is to stay out of debt and to have some savings. That's how we do it. It's been the same all throughout the decades. That's how you do it. But it's hard to do. It's hard to not spend all the money we have. It's hard to not buy what we want. It's hard to do on a personal basis. It's hard to do in a corporation. It's hard in the government, the local government, and the federal government. It's hard to not spend money when it comes to you so easily. And that's what the Federal Reserve has been doing, providing money easy to get, and at a very, very low interest rate. And by the way, the low interest rate is another thing that destabilizes our economic system. And that all reflects not only on the currency or the money, it reflects on the government, the personal lives that we have, and our spiritual and moral beings. So yeah, it affects everything. It affects the laws that our country passes. Everyone will be affected by this. So The evidence has shown that it's coming. We can manipulate and postpone the inevitable, but at some point, it will come. We just don't know quite when. Indeed, we don't. And a lot of people have seen it coming, and they've been wrong. They've said, oh, it's coming next year. They say it's coming in 3 years. They say this or that, and they have been wrong. So, I could be wrong too, but I could be right. I'm sorry. It's just you look at the information and you grasp your own understanding. See what you can do to protect yourself for and from the just in case. So, I know for the timing of all this, I remember thinking at the end of the term of our last president, I saw in my mind that a crisis would come along soon. As soon as 2 months or as long as 2 years. That's what I thought at the end of our previous president's term. But things have changed. The new president has made some economic international decisions, and they have benefited our economy. We have a rebounding economy, but we still don't know what will happen or when it will happen. How long will this continue? Is it a precarious situation that we are in? Could it suddenly fail? There's a lot of things that could happen, and we don't know, but let's get prepared for the just in case. We have a condition in this country where people spend all the money that they get, or they get into debt with more spending than they can afford. So almost all the population, all the people lives paycheck to paycheck, and the retired people live from retirement check to retirement check, and the people on government assistance, they live from assistance check to assistance check, so to speak. The government is doing the same thing, spending all that it can, and we have a nation where most of the people have no savings. Like 75% of the people in our nation have no savings at all. There was a statistic a few months ago that said that the average person could not cover a $400 expense until the next check came in. So what would happen if we did have tough times? What if we had a recession or a correction? Well, there would be a lot of people in pain, that's for sure. And I think of the Christians crying out, "Oh Lord, help me!" And I think of the non-Christians that they would say to themselves, "Oh boy, I'm screwed." Well, it's just people say this thing or they say that. And it just looks like if there is a trouble, it will certainly affect everybody. Christians and non-Christians alike will be affected in a big way. You know, I kind of wonder if God hears the prayers of the people asking for more money to pay for their expenses. I guess I'm kind of playing with this thought. And so inflation is allowed. Our dollars are inflated and money is printed to excess. And so there's more and more dollars. But in that very same scenario, the dollars buy less and less. And that's what inflation does. It becomes harder and harder to pay for our normal monthly expenses. So, we have seen the examples of how inflation affects a country. It destroys the money, the economy, the society, and eventually it causes great turmoil in the government. So, what will occur here in the United States of America? Would it be any different? Well, we can look at the examples all over the world. They have a similar pattern. And it happens that the economy unravels, the government unravels, and the society unravels. Will that happen here? We don't know, but it could. And that's why I want to talk about it being a real possibility, and that we can get ready for some difficult times. If you look at the countries where this has happened, it doesn't just fix itself right away. It's a problem that lasts for years. They have years of difficulty. And would it be any different if it happened in the United States that there was an economic downturn? How long would it take to come out of that downturn? The Great Depression of the 1930s took a war to bring us out of that depression, more than a dozen years. So what would the next one be like? I've talked about the people who have said it's coming on this program. I've named names, and I won't do that today. But I will just say that it's a real clear possibility that something like that would happen again. In my mind, it's more than a possibility. It is a certainty. We just don't know what, and we don't know when. But to me, the direction is already cast. The timing of it is what we don't know. So let's just think a little bit about how we can be prepared for that just in case. And like I said, the thing we do is to eliminate our debt, pay off all our debt, and to have savings. Well, we do the best we can to do that. So that's what I think is coming and what we do about it. I think about these things, and even though it's not fun to talk about, it is something I believe needs to be examined. It needs to be talked about. It needs to be looked at and looked into to see what anyone can do to prevent it. And I'm not sure what we can do as a country or as a society to change it. Being aware of it is possible. It's a good idea. And then we would talk about it with our political people who have at least a little bit allowed it. That's kind of the most I think that we can do for our country, but we do something personally to prepare, and that is have no debt and have savings. That's the best I think we can do. And I know how hard it is to do. Practically impossible. But if we don't take steps towards it, we don't get any closer to the goal. So just think about what would happen if. What if hard times did come? And think what you would do. Would it be something similar to the 2008 crises? Would it be something similar to, I think 9/11 was a crisis too, and the economy stopped, and the people were greatly affected because the companies were greatly affected. And that affected everything, including the government down. Depression? Sure, look in the 1929 depression. Could it happen again? The patterns are similar today. Doesn't mean it will happen, but it sure doesn't mean it won't. And just like in the 2008 crash, just like in that crash, there was a downturn. And who got bailed out? The big companies got bailed out, the big corporations. Us regular citizens, we were not bailed out. We just had to get through it and lose whatever we lost. It was tough. So, what would we do if there was another crisis? That's what I urge everyone to look at. What would it be like to have great inflation, hyperinflation, and a devalued dollar? See, I hope we can avoid it, but there's lots of money people who are saying that is just what is coming our way. One of the things that does concern me, though, is when there is a crisis, what often happens is the government does something to distract the population from the economic problem that they are facing. And the politicians do that with a war. That's one of the reasons why war is promoted, is to distract the population from the troubles domestically that it is having, to distract the population from the economic problems. By the way, China has a very, very unhappy population. There have been expectations that the economy would increase and increase, and it did. But at this point, it's not there anymore. And there's been that virus that has gone through the population where tens of millions of people have been quarantined. The people of China are very, very unhappy. So yeah, would they turn to a war? Don't be surprised if they did. And in our country, what if there was a sharp economic downturn? Would we also have a very unhappy population? Oh, I think so. So what would we do? Would we go to war to distract the people? Well, it's a pattern, and it has happened in history before. It's not that it will, and it's not that I'm predicting it. It's just that I know it's a possibility. Just like there are possibilities for the financial to have a crisis and for there to be even a depression. So, yeah, we can wonder, we can look at all this, and we can just put a little effort into the what in case, what we would do in case that happened. We have a population that doesn't know how to take care of itself anymore. I mean, when you even think of the number of people who don't cook, they don't ever cook. They eat out. I'm not sure if it's one third, but it's probably pretty close to one third of the U.S. population does not cook. Maybe they wouldn't know how to cook or bake bread or something. I don't know. And then if you look at the U.S. population, where 60, 70 or more percent of the people are dependent on their prescription drugs to get through each day and often enough just plain to live. And you know that, well, the numbers I settle on are 65 to 75% of our prescription drugs come from China. That's where they're made. So if we had a war with China, do you think that our supplies would get here still? I don't think so. So that just tells me, get prepared again. I also kind of laugh that we have shipped all the manufacturing out of our nation, and so much of it ended up in China. And now practically all of our footwear is made in China, and that includes the boots that our military wears. How would we manage? Well, I don't know. It's just one of those just-in-case things. And I think it's all right to think about these serious things that could confront us. I don't mean worry about it, but give it some thought. There's that saying, don't worry, be happy. Well, if you can, I guess go ahead and do it. But I also think it's good to look at the just-in-case. Like Jeremiah 29:11, it says, God has plans to prosper you and to give you a future and a hope. Well, that's the way the NIV puts it. The other versions of the Bible say it a little different, but all the Bible versions, a couple of verses later, say that you get that when you search for me with all your heart. When you search for God with all your heart, then you get the plans to prosper you with a future and a hope. So God has a few requirements that he has for us to do, and I don't mean to tell you what they are. I mean to encourage you to search it out for yourself and be comfortable with that personal relationship that you have with God through Jesus Christ. That's what you want. After all, we want to spend eternity with God, Jesus Christ, in that heavenly place. And so let's get to know him. Let's practice being holy like Jesus is holy. That doesn't mean we are perfect at it, but we want to be, and we take those steps to be holy so that we will fit right into heaven upon our death. So that's where we want to go. We want to spend eternity there and not in that other place. We don't want to be buddies with Satan and sin. Oh, no, we don't. So let your life reflect Jesus by how you live. Have a prayer life. Have a life where you talk to God and read the Bible. Examine how you live your life, how you live it out. I think the Gospel of John talks about that, so it's a good book to read. You might just read that. Oh, I'm talking about the things that you want in your heart, which is that relationship with God, and that you use your emotion and your intellect to examine all of that. And by the way, that's what we use as we look through life also. In life, we want to have the things that reflect God in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, or with the Holy Spirit, and through our life. We want our heart and mind in a position to be ready to obey God. And I expect that we will be guided by that still, small, quiet voice of God. Last year on Christ Today, I told you about the time that I heard the voice of God. And this is how it happened. That was about 15 years ago. It was not like I was doing anything special. I was not. And then right inside my head, there was a loud, booming, powerful voice giving me a lesson on scripture in the Bible. And I knew enough scripture to know that what the voice said did not perfectly line up with scripture. It was close, but it wasn't what the scripture actually said. It was a little different. But that booming head, booming voice inside my head really got my attention. And I certainly wondered about it, and I prayed about it, and asked God for understanding. And then about 10 days after that, in my head, again, I heard in my head a still, small, quiet voice. But this voice was so pure, and I would even call it holy. And so for quite a few years, I wondered why I heard the booming voice and the quiet, pure voice. And I think part of it was so that I could discern the two, and part of it was so that I could tell you about it today. Yeah. So God works in many ways, including those, like those two voices. And he works in ways that bring glory to God, and that we also receive a benefit from it. I think that's just how it works. God brings things to our attention, and we get to seek the truth of it. And that's one part of what life is about, and how we resolve differences and get through life as we reflect on God and what he says. We have lots of conflict in life, personally and through countries. That is just the way life goes. And that helps us to discern what really happens and how we deal with the life. One of the conflicts we have right now is Turkey has had a military movement into Syria. Oh, and in Iran, well, they've nearly tripled their uranium stockpile in the last 4 months. That's what the UN reports. And they have, the United Nations has identified three new locations where nuclear material has been developed and placed in Iran. So is that a source of conflict? Yes, it is, either is or could be. And so how do we resolve our conflicts in a biblical way? Do we read the Bible to get guidance? Do we hear the voice of God to get guidance? And I think all these things are what we want to do. And I know that, well, we all see the world around us, and we all recognize that there are conflicts. Conflicts between people, between countries, and even within our monetary system. There are conflicts as to how we do things. We try to resolve things. We try to understand in a biblical way and in a worldly way what is going on. And I think it's good to be guided by what we hear in prophecy too. And I remember 20 or 30 years ago, I heard prophetic Christians talk about what would happen, what was coming. And it was a little bit scary. But here today, I see we are closer to that situation that we have been in the last 20 or 30 years. We have bankers that are manipulating things. And I told you about the Federal Reserve just some minutes ago. Nowadays, the money watchers and professional people are saying that the money printing that is going on by the Federal Reserve will create great big inflation. And so we try to figure out what it is that we should do to protect our, well, ourselves, our family, our community, our nation. We try to figure this out. And the financial people are talking about this so much but the news does not. Why does our news not talk about it? Because it's not affecting us in the short term. It's not going to happen next week or next month. And so it doesn't get brought up on the news channels. But I hear plenty of people talking about it. And that makes me talk about it now so that you can figure out what you would want to do if our money system and everything else became destabilized. So we will all prepare differently. We all have different ideas about what needs to be done. And that's good, because if we all prepare differently, we can all help each other differently. And I think that is always our goal is to remember to love God and remember to love our neighbor. That's what we do. That's the great commandment. So, I say it's better to prepare a little too early, even years too early, than a few minutes or a few days too late. So have a look and see what you want to do. See what things you want to be prepared with. We all different do it differently, but I hope you look at what you can do in every sense. So I urge you to think, to plan, and to do. And remember that you can write me for a preparedness brochure. And please send a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can listen to this or any past broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org, all lowercase and no spaces. So, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.